Matt Dathan, a week is a long time in politics. Did anyone see the EU and the Boris Johnson-led UK government being this close to a deal? Morning.
Morning. Yeah, no, that's a very good question. This week is particularly long. A lot of people didn't believe that Boris Johnson even wanted to, strike a deal. What is the one thing that's probably very clear this week is the fact that Boris Johnson does very much want a deal. In fact, he's desperate, so desperate that he's going very close to the shape of a deal that Theresa May first suggested back in December 2017, which really annoyed the DUP, the Unionists in Northern Ireland, because it suggested a separate customs arrangement for Northern Ireland to the rest of Great Britain. So the details are very secret, private. Not even Cabinet has been shown them. It's a very small number of core senior ministers have been shown the details. And there is no deal in sight tonight. The EU summit starts tomorrow in Brussels, finishes on Friday, and usually you'd have to have a legal text ready before, at least 2 or 3 days before the summit, so the EU leaders could actually go into the summit, scrutinising the detail, ready to sign on the dotted line. There is no legal text ready. There's a massive stumbling block. We're hearing tonight that the stumbling block is over very complicated VAT rules, where, you know, how does the UK collect EU taxes. It's all very, very complicated, and it will all come down to the very last minute, I think, at the summit on Friday.
However, hearing Michel Barnier just 12 hours ago or more saying we will be briefing EU commissioners over the next few hours, an announcement could come by the end of the day, then backtracking and saying that there appeared to be doubts at Downing Street's end. This is an extraordinary degree of movement on when we were a few days ago. What is known about the concessions that Mr. Johnson has appeared to have made around Ireland, the Irish Sea as a border? What is the mechanism? Is it going to be that Northern Ireland is technically in the UK, but for practical intents and purposes also remaining part of the EU? What is the rabbit that's been pulled out of the hat that has got it this close?
Yeah, no, exactly that. I mean, obviously, we haven't seen the details, but what we're hearing is that, obviously, originally, 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Boris proposed that Northern Ireland and Great Britain would leave the EU's customs union, together. But now he's conceded that Northern Ireland would stay in temporarily, apply to the EU customs checks. So the checks would then basically be done between GB and Northern Ireland, which would obviously create a border down the Irish Sea, which is so opposed by the Unionists. So basically, when goods arrive in Northern Ireland, when they cross the border into the UK, including Northern Ireland, a tariff would be imposed on that. Now, if they leave Northern Ireland into the UK, the tariff remains. But if businesses keep those goods in Northern Ireland, then they can apply for a rebate of that tariff, because Northern Ireland would both be in the EU customs union, but also in the UK's customs arrangements. So it would cause absolute chaos, I think, for businesses in Northern Ireland.
Because, so they're being asked to bear the brunt of the unsolvability of the border issue. What is the power What is the power of the Democratic Unionist Party in whether or not this deal is going to be agreed? Because it's lost its balance of power role that it had under Theresa May, because the Conservatives have just lost their majority outright. So are they going to have a moral authority to say you cannot do this without us agreeing, or are they going to be the ones who are just going to be overruled in order to do a deal?
I think it's more than moral authority, because basically they have 10, they're not the difference between a majority and not majority anymore, but they have 10 votes, and they have 10 votes. So if those votes go the other way, that's effectively 20 net minus 20 for the government. And also, this vote is going to come down to the single digits, we think. But also the ERG, the hardline Brexiteer group of Tory MPs, they are making very clear that they will vote along with the DUP. So if the DUP say, yes, we're up for this deal, then it's very likely that the majority of the hardline Brexiteers and the Tory party will also vote for them. What is actually emerging as the biggest stumbling block on the DUP side, however, is not just customs, the customs checks down the Irish Sea, but also and their worries about infrastructure being imposed between GB and Northern Ireland, which is a massive no-no for them, but also the issue of consent. Boris Johnson had originally proposed that Northern Ireland Assembly would get basically a veto every 4 years. Now, the UK government have sort of conceded on this as well and saying they're willing to look at other forms of consent because the EU don't want to, you know, basically give the DUP a veto over any future arrangements on the Irish border. But the DUP are very clear that to comply with the Good Friday Agreement, you have to have a consent backed by a majority of both the unionists and the nationalists in Northern Ireland, and they're saying, they're saying the current proposals by Boris Johnson would not comply with the Good Friday Agreement. So there's the consent issue that is also a stumbling block on the DUP side.
Okay, so we may be back to where Mrs. May was. The EU agrees to a deal. The Prime Minister wants the deal. Cannot get a majority in Parliament. That may be exactly where we land.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, it's very hard to say where we'll be by the end of Friday. But what it's looking like is a deal is very unlikely. Like, you know, legally binding international treaty, which we're all hoping for, is very unlikely to be signed and secured by Friday. So we're looking at the prospect of the government and the EU signing a political agreement to say, look, this is the outline of a deal. You go back on Saturday or next week, get it approved by Parliament in the Commons. Once it's approved by the Commons, you can come back next week or whenever and get it firmed up in a legal text, 700 pages
okay.
long. And then that will require another extension.
But also, Matt, it'll be an extension, but it'll be a technical extension with a result at the end. The difference is, the question is, whether even the political agreement is going to be approved by the Parliament. In other words, whether in principle he's got a majority for what he's just agreed with the EU. And that'll become clear, I guess, Saturday.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I guess this is like a chicken and egg. You know, do you make sure you secure that majority in Parliament before you go to the EU and say, look, we've got a majority for this, you give us this and we can pass it? Or do you go to the EU, get an agreement, then come back? It's the problem is no one wants to be to blame for the deal to collapse. And at the moment, it's very hard to see how we get through this sort of particular pinch point in the negotiations. But I think we're looking at a delay, possible just a technical extension of a few weeks to get that final deal over the line. But whether that gets the majority backing of Parliament, we don't know yet.
Right. So it may be that they do a political agreement that, again, they don't know, which is Mrs. May's situation again. Again, they don't know whether or not they've got a majority for.
Yeah, correct. And of course, we've got all the other factors of the delay legislation kicking in on Saturday. Saturday is a massive deadline because then the Benn Act legislation kicks in when the Prime Minister must request an extension until January, at the very earliest, if he hasn't passed a deal in Parliament.
So Matt, thank you. Fantastic. Thanks very much. Matt Dathan in the UK.